Let us now prepare our hearts to give praise and thanks to God as we join in the call to worship. I invite you, as you're able, to stand together. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are God's people, the sheep of the Lord's pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We give thanks to the Lord and praise God's name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. God's faithfulness continues through all generations. Let us pray. Gracious God, on this special day, we give you thanks from the bottom of our hearts for all the blessings that are ours. Lord, bless us now in this place as we sing together, pray together, listen together, watch for you together. We pray that you would center our attention upon you and that we would truly give you our thanks with grateful hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. Let us now confess to the Lord in prayer our sinfulness using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let's join together in prayer. Gracious God, each year at this time, our thoughts turn toward a holiday we call Thanksgiving, but we confess to you that our hearts have not participated in the act of giving thanks to you in the way that we should. Instead, we have griped and complained about all the things we don't have, rather than saying a sincere thank you for all the blessings you have already given us. Lord, teach us how to be a thankful people. This week, help us to participate in thanksgiving and to show it in thanksgiving. We pray through Jesus, our Redeemer and friend. Amen. The psalmist writes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." And then he writes, "Do not forget all God's benefits and blessings." And he lists a lot of them. You might want to go read that psalm to see things you can be thankful for. You know what the first thing on the list is? He forgives all your sins. Where would we be? With God and with each other, if there were no forgiveness in our life. But thank God, through Jesus Christ, we are completely forgiven. Amen. We have a very special treat today. Our children are going to be singing and ringing for us. First, the preschool and first grade choir are going to sing "If You're Thankful and You Know It." And you're going to get us to participate, aren't you, Miss Julie? Yeah. So we're going to listen to them sing first. So pay attention. All of y'all did a great job, and it does makes my heart glad to see you glad about what the Lord is doing for you. So now you can head off to Children's Church and learn some more about Jesus today. So glad you are all here. And if there are other children who were not in the choir and want to go to Children's Church, third grade and under, you can head out too. Well, ever since I got back from our Journeys of Paul tour, we've been talking about Paul and scriptures related to him. We do that again today. If you'll look with me at Philippians chapter 4, page 1087 in your pew Bibles, we'll be looking at verses 10 through 13. Paul is in prison as he writes this, Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon. He's in prison. And yet he writes, and that's what makes what he writes in this passage even more amazing. So look with me, Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 10. Listen carefully, for this is God's word to us. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content. Whatever the circumstances, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. The Apostle Paul was in chains, and yet he wrote about rejoicing in the Lord no matter what he had. So I want to share with you today four lessons from these verses that I've just read about true Christian contentment. The first one is very simple. You can be content. You can be content. Now, how do I know? Well, look at Paul. He was in a desperate situation. Not only was he in chains, but he didn't know what his future was. If you read the entire letter of Philippians, he kind of goes back and forth. I don't know, I might be about to die, or I might have more years to live. Either way, I am going to rejoice in the Lord. And then notice what he said at the end of this passage in verse 13. I can do all this through him, through Christ, who gives me strength. Now, sometimes that verse is isolated and taken out of its context and just put on the wall. Actually, I have it on my wall in my office because it is such an important verse. But you need to read it in relationship to everything else he was saying in this passage. It's almost sometimes people take that, I can do anything through Christ. The next time I play golf, I can shoot 70. I can lose 40 pounds between now and Christmas. I can learn to play the piano. I can do anything through Christ who gives me strength. Well, you know, it's true. Christ can give you strength to do lots of things. But he's not just saying I can do anything, reach any goal that I dream up. He's specifically talking about living a contented life regardless of our circumstances. So he says you can be content through Christ who gives you strength. The second lesson is you need to learn contentment. You need to learn contentment. Notice what he says. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Now, there's a secret to it. It's as if he's saying, I'm letting you in on something now that not everybody knows. You can be content in any and every situation. Now, that's not normally the way we look at things. The world says if you're not content, it's because you're in a bad situation and you need to change your situation. That's the way to get contentment. But Paul says, no, there's a secret to it. The key is not in changing your situation, but in being satisfied with God. Now, picture with me a very large container. Not too long ago, Joy and I were somewhere, and they were building a new sheets. Imagine that. They built them all over, and they had dug a big hole in the ground where the huge container was going to go that they were going to put all the gas in, that we were going to get gas for our cars, you know. And so they had dug this huge hole, and here was this huge container. Now imagine that huge container, and then think about the little communion cup that we use on communion Sundays. Let's fill up that cup and pour it in that huge, large container. Will it fill it? No, absolutely not. It's almost like, why even bother? The size, you know, huge thing, a tiny little bit, it's not going to be enough. You know, God has made our hearts with a huge hole in it. That hole can only be filled by God. By a huge God, by an almighty God. But we try to content ourselves, satisfy ourselves, by taking all these little cups and pouring them in the huge. Does it work? No, it's silly. But yet we do it over and over again. We need to learn to be content, and we can do that by learning about what God has done in our lives. So the third lesson is, you will never be content unless you are content in every situation. In every situation. Now, wait a minute. I can be content a little bit here and there. No, but it won't last. You will never be truly content unless you are content in every situation. That's what Paul said. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Now, which would you choose this morning? Plenty or want? I would choose plenty. I like plenty. I like having most or all the things that I want. You know, come Thanksgiving Day, I don't like, you know, one entree and no sides. I like to see the full table, you know, and be able to choose. We like the plenty, so we think, you know, let's go for the plenty. But, you know, even in times of plenty, it's hard to be content. For example, think about in the Old Testament, the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua is a book of victories. You want to think about a record? The record of the Israelite army in Joshua was 31-0. That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? I don't care what sport it is. 31-0. A record of great victory. But were the people content and satisfied? No. The book of Judges comes along, and they're all doing everything that's right in their own eyes, and they're not content with God. See, it's hard to be content in times of plenty. It's also hard in times of want. You know, when you have something happen in your life that brings difficulty in your life, where you don't have everything you want, what that experience actually is a doorway. It's a doorway where if you would choose to walk through that door and accept what God has given you and find that everything you need you already have in God, then it's a doorway to blessing. But you know what we do? We usually shut the door and complain and gripe and talk to God about what we don't have. We need to accept that, walk through that doorway and accept what God has brought into our life as a time to teach us what's really important in life. Which brings us to the fourth lesson. And here's the secret. You want to know the secret? You've been listening all this time, but you want to know the real secret? Paul talks about it. The secret to being content is this. Contentment is Christ sufficiency. Christ sufficiency. I have learned in everything to be content because everything that I need, that I really need, I already have in Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example. You're standing in line at Walmart. You've chosen a line to check out, and there is a mother and a child in front of you. You know what they have in those lines at Walmart? They have lots of, they have candy. And there's that mom and that child standing in line at Walmart. What's the child going to say? Mama, can I have a piece of candy? And what's mama going to say? No, you can't. And then she reasons with the child, you cannot have a piece of candy because it's going to spoil your appetite and we're going to be eating soon and I want you to eat good things for you and not candy. So you cannot have a piece of candy. And the child just accepts that, right? No. Then the child says a little bit, but I want a piece of candy. I hadn't had candy. And, you know, the mom has been reasoning, so, you know, the child reasons. I haven't had a piece of candy in over a week. And then they go back and forth. Well, you know what generally happens. Not all the time, but you know what generally happens. You stand there long enough, and there's the child walking out of Walmart with her mom, and she's got a smile on her face and chocolate all over her mouth because she got a piece of candy. Now, is that child content? On one level, you say, well, yeah, she got what she wanted. This is what she wanted. She got it. She's smiling. She's happy. But no, that child has not learned contentment. She's happy temporarily. But when that piece of candy's gone and she wants another piece of candy, she's not going to be happy. She hasn't learned to be content in all situations. The way we learn to be content is to realize not just what we don't have, but what we already have. What do I already have in my hand? I have Jesus Christ. He has loved me. He has come to give his life for me. He has called me to himself. He is my Savior. I already have Jesus. And if I have Jesus, I really don't need anything else. I might want a lot of other things, but he's really what I need. And so once I learn the secret to contentment is Christ's sufficiency, I have sufficient for what I have, what I need in Jesus Christ, then guess what? Once I learn that secret to contentment, that also is the secret to thanksgiving. Because, you know, I'm not going to really be thankful if I don't think I have enough and I'm always wanting more and more. But if I realize all I really need I already have, then I can be thankful. So it's a secret to contentment and to thanksgiving. I want to share with you just a few stories, recent stories, about Thanksgiving that might help you understand more about how you can be thankful in your life. Just this past week, we had a man stop by the church, and this has never happened to me in all my years of ministry. But this man stopped by the church, happened to see Barbara, and he said, a while back, your church, helped me. I was homeless. I had next to nothing. You helped me with $20 for food. And so here's $20. I now have a job. I've been able to get a truck. And I thank you for the way. And here's that $20. I'm giving it back to you so you can share it with someone else. Now, we've given away a lot in a lot of years, but I've never had that happen to me before. That man knew what it was to be thankful, and he showed it in the way that he shared. Also this past week, I read about a ministry. It's actually a ministry I follow on Facebook. It's called the Ability Ministry. It's for adults with what we call disabilities. But to twist that around, they name it the Ability Ministry because, you know, everybody has some ability. And if we focus on what we don't have, the disabilities, then we forget what we do have. So it's a ministry called the Ability Ministry. And so they have a number of adults that have disabilities. And then they have board members. And many times they get the board members to come in and meet the people at the group home and share together. And so they were going to have this time of sharing. And the person in charge said, all right, we're going to go around the room today and we're going to ask everybody to name one gift that God has given you. You know, whether you're a resident of the group home or a member of the board. Treat them all alike. Well, they noticed that one of the residents was getting very nervous and a little bit upset. So they went over to speak to her, and her name's Rana. Said, Rana, what's wrong? She said, well, I'm afraid because I don't know if I can speak up in front of these people. And they said, oh, Rana, you don't need to worry. Everybody is here because they love you. You don't have to be afraid. And then the person writing the article went on to talk about what it would be like in our churches. Imagine a church that would tell everybody who walked in the door, no matter where they came from, that God has given them a gift. And without them, this church wouldn't be everything that God wants it to be. And somebody that would say to everybody who walks in, you don't need to worry. You don't need to be afraid because we're all here and we love you. Just think what difference that would make in a church and in our lives as we seek to give thanks for the gifts that God has given us. One more illustration I want to share with you. Our play school has ages 1 to 4, and the 2-year-old class, in the past week, the teacher sat down with each student in the 2-year-old class and asked them, name one thing that you're thankful for. And the teacher shared it with me, and I thought it was really neat, so I wanted to share with you some of the things. Now, these are 2-year-olds, so you never know what you're going to get. Said, what are you thankful for? One said, Daddy and trains. Another said, hugs and kisses. Another said, I'm thankful for my baby sister. Another said, Daddy and Play-Doh. I guess in that order. Maybe, maybe not. One said that, I think it's a boy, said he was thankful just for the color pink. You know, just thankful for a color. Another said, I'm thankful for a pink horse. The teacher said she does not have a pink horse. Maybe she's wishing for a pink horse. Another said, I'm thankful for kissing and hugging. Now, if this was a middle school group, I might, you know, take that in a little different direction. But for 2-year-olds, you think about a kiss and a hug. Now, there are lots of children who never get a kiss or a hug. Many of us take that for granted. What a great blessing it is just to have a warm hug, have someone want to kiss you. And then another one said, I'm thankful for unicorns. Then there was a 2-year-old, some of you would like this. There was a 2-year-old said that she was thankful for coffee. A 2-year-old. Probably somebody's been taking her to Starbucks. And then there was another one who said, I'm thankful for me and my donkey. And again, the teacher told me he doesn't have a donkey, but he's thankful. You know, those are simple things, and you know, we laugh about them. But children have a way of getting to what's really important in life. The longer we live and the more we work and all the things we get, we cover up. It's like we take what's really important, we cover over it so that we can't even see it anymore. But take away some of that stuff. It's down there. What is really important? What is most important is that you have Jesus Christ in your life. And that if you have Him, if you're connected by faith to Him, you have everything that you need because Christ is sufficient. So, remember the secret. Not everybody knows this now, but it is a secret. The way you can be content, the way you can learn to do all things and always be content in Jesus Christ is to realize that in Him you have everything that you need. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you and praise you this day for all the blessings that we have in our lives. If we, just like the 2-year-old class, sit one by one and list our blessings, we could do that. We are thankful for people who love us and care about us. We're thankful for possessions. And all those things are wonderful, and we ought to be thankful for them. But Lord, help us to not miss out on being thankful today for the most important person in our life, a person who gave us the gift of life to start with, a person who has sustained us through life and all of its challenges, and that is you. Lord, we are thankful for you today and what you do to teach us the lesson of contentment so that we can be thankful. Lord, there are so many things that we wish for and that we wish were different in our life today. Every one of us could make a list of those things. But Lord, Help us not to focus on what we don't have, but more so on what we do have in and through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for those on our prayer list today who are in need, especially for those who have lost loved ones this week, for Lynn Dillard's family and for Lucy Hancock's family. We pray that you would help them find contentment in you today, even in the time of great sorrow and loss, that you would remind them that you are near to them and give them the strength that they need. Lord, thank you that we can depend upon you and be thankful to you. We pray to you in our Savior Jesus Christ, even as we pray together the prayer that long ago he taught his followers to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You will notice in the anthem as the choir sings that there's a portion for us to join in singing, so pay attention. And then on those verses in the middle, we'll join together with the choir in singing. If you're thankful and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. We're so thankful for all the music and how music helps us feel our spirit of thankfulness in a way that words just doesn't do it. So we're so thankful for that. We get to enjoy the handbell choir again. So as we give our gifts generously and thanks to the Lord, let us continue to give thanks to God.
Thank you.
Lord, we're thankful that we can give these gifts, that we can share. So, Lord, take them and use them so that others might know you and feel your love. We pray through Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Thankful today for Bill Mitchell, our newest member, so if you get a chance, make sure you speak to him and welcome him today. Told my Sunday school class this morning, suppose I pulled out my wallet right now and started counting the bills, and yeah, I have a little cash, you know, some of you I know don't carry cash anymore, I have a little cash, start counting the bills in my wallet, and I count it up, and I've got $100, but I'm all mad and upset. Because I know somebody here, one of you, has 101. And I'm upset because I only got 100. I don't have 100. How silly is that? And yet, isn't that what we do? I've got this and that and the other, and God has blessed me. But I want that. I don't have that blessing. Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful, ultimately, for what God has given you in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so now to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be all glory, honor, power, and dominion and praise now and forevermore. Amen.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give